Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
So glad you're here today. It's one of those days that changes the course of history. The fact that Jesus not only came, but and died, but he rose again and he ascended and one day will come again. God so loved the world that the puppets told us this morning. How good were the puppets? How many? Yeah. I asked the kids, who do you think this is? They go, we don't know. But they explain that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus as a substitute on our behalf to take away our sin. And if we trust, put our trust in him, we have eternal life. And it's an incredible thing. But what I want to talk about today, and I'm wearing this shirt, and some of you are like, this guy's weird. That doesn't change the fact that I'm still wearing this shirt. But I think the reality is we've been looking at, over the last 4 weeks, of putting our eggs in one basket. There's a whole idea of humanity is we hedge our bets. We don't want to put everything in one thing. But talk this morning and share some stories from the scriptures of people who encountered Jesus and had to make a decision. And you have to make a decision when you realize that Jesus is not just a good man, not just a great man, but that he rose from the dead. And you have to change your life. You have to think about what you need to do. You have to respond to the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Now, we have many, many, many decisions every day. I don't know if you've ever thought about how many decisions that you make. Some of you have made, like, you were deciding what to wear and you changed your mind, and then you changed your mind again, and then you changed your mind again. If you didn't even think about that, you just, that's clean. It's going on, and I'm not talking to anyone in particular. Some have had their fits chosen for them. That's okay. But we make decisions all the time. And some of us are of no consequence. Some take a long time to do, like choosing a show on Netflix. The other, Catherine and I were choosing some. It's like, I'm going to take a shower. And Alex, you'll be deciding what to do. It's just going to take that long. And she's right, but that's okay. But there are some decisions that we make that we go, yeah, that's fine. But then we face a mindset challenge that we'd like, I don't know, this is right, this is weird, this feels strange. So Catherine was working, driving out to country New South Wales, and she thought it'd be a great idea if we met her at Dubbo Zoo. So I've never been there before. I'm taking Finn. I don't have to pay him any money. I can mention his name. He doesn't know. So we're in the car together, and a three-year-old in a car. Catherine gave me strict instructions. Do this up until this point, feed him and do this and do, like, but he's toilet training. So, but here's, get back to the message. I put in the map how to get there and it showed me three different options. And I've never driven there before, never been there in more of my life. And so I picked the shortest option. That's what everyone would do, right? You pick the shortest option. Driving. What is apparently the shortest option? I stopped because I thought this is wrong. This is wrong. I chose three different map apps because I'm like, this is wrong. This is taking too long. This is not right. But every map was telling me you've made the right decision. But I'm like, no, this is clearly wrong. This is taking forever, and the three-year-old is not helping. This whole situation, it feels like eternity by the time we're actually going to get there. And I'm like, I can see where I need to be, and I know where I'm going, and I'm like, this is wrong. And sometimes for us, you might be here because Jesus is everything, and at the same time, you're like, but yes, I feel wrong. I've got some mindsets, I've got some challenges. We go, no, no, no. There's some things that I want to hold on to rather than put all my eggs in the basket of following Jesus. We got a scripture. Let's go to the next one. I think we need to personally respond to the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus said to a woman who had lost her brother, and let's pick it up from verse 21. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to him, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. There have been in the end sometime in the future, but it doesn't solve my problem now. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's really the question I want to pose to you this morning, to get you to think about the Jesus rose from the dead. Do you believe this? What response do you need to give? And she says, yes, I believe the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who is to come into the world. And so you need to respond. Jesus brings out the challenger. I want to look at a few different people's response to the resurrected Jesus. The first person I want to look at is Martha. She is all in. Actually, it's not Martha, it's Mary Magdalene. Who wrote that? That's just wrong. Whoever I'm paying to do that, you need to fix that. Okay, now we go back. All right, they give me a wind up. All right, let's go. When the banker come, we finish. This incredible story. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, risen, just as he said, come and see the place where they lay. They go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the, go ahead into Galilee and then you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me. So there's a whole bunch of Marys and Marthas and a bunch of people that follow Jesus. But Mary Magdalene is the unsung hero of the gospel. She's mentioned lots and lots of times. But it says in Luke chapter 8 that she was delivered, right, 7 demons from her life. And so she becomes part of the discipleship group that follows Jesus around. And she was wealthy. So she had enough money to support herself and Jesus and all these disciples. But the torment that she experienced, you imagine what this is like to have 7 demons there. And she is delivered from this. And for her, it's like, I'm not all in. I'm going to follow Jesus. She is the one that I think we need to be like and look to and go, hey, I need a little bit more like this person. Some of the other disciples left Jesus, a little bit rough, and they ran away. They were the first. They were the first at the tomb. They were the first witnesses of the resurrection. They encounter the living Jesus, and their response is beautiful. It's fear and awe, excitement and joy, and I think that's normal. That's a normal human experience. But they fall at Jesus' feet. He's awesome. He's amazing. They're clearly, Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. And I think for us, we have that attitude, that response. I think we need to see is, we need to see that Jesus has done something significant in my life. It might be yesterday, it might be last year, it might be 10, 20, it might be a long time ago. But it impacted my life, it changed my life, and so we don't go back. I'm still holding on. He's everything to me. I'm all in, and there's no turning back. Or maybe you might find yourself in the next group because you might have like, well, that's fine. That works out for her. She had seven demons. She was delivered. That's amazing. What if you're downcast? What if you're disappointed? I love this story. Now, that same day, so like literally after they just worship Jesus, that same day, two disciples who are unnamed because they chose to not name them, were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So takes about 2 and a bit hours to walk. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They talked and discussed these things with each other. And Jesus himself came and walked alongside them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, so what are you talking about? The Australian version. And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened? What things? About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was that was going to redeem Israel. What is more, the third day since he took place, and find his body, and they go on in the story. I just want to zero in on that. We had hoped. They were downcast. I am at, there are people in this room today, whatever your situation, you may even be disappointed with God. And when we're talking about, you should just be like Mary Magdalene, fall down and worship Jesus. You're like, yes, but no. I am downcast. I expected this to happen. And I'm disappointed. And I tell you what, the resurrected Jesus, this is what he would do with you. He would walk with you. And he would talk with you. For about 2 hours, he just, what happens is they're having this conversation about the scriptures of how the Messiah would have to suffer and die. And do you know what changes their story? Because they're walking away from where all the stuff's happening. They're walking away from the cross. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're probably going to go back to their life or what they were doing. And some of us like that. We have this disappointment. I don't know what to do with it. And yet I want to tell you that we just need to stand and walk with that disappointment and talk to Jesus about it. Just walk with him. And he'll talk with you about it. And here's the most profound thing. What happens? What changes the story for them? They invite him to stay, and Jesus is like, I'm going to go on, but Jesus wants to be where people want him, and so he stays with them. And then he breaks the bread, symbolic of the death of suffering, that we have a God who knows what it is to be human and to suffer the consequences of sin, and to possibly even be disappointed in God himself. And they break the bread and they're like, he understands. He understands me. And they're all in. They run back. They've just walked 2 hours and they're running back to Jesus. They're like, he's everything. He's risen from the dead. And everyone's got their story of resurrection, story of who Jesus is. But today, maybe you're feeling that way. Why don't you just walk with Jesus, process that, read the Bible, talk to him in the breaking of the bread, symbolic of Jesus' death, the solidarity of suffering. Maybe you're another type of person. You're Saul, who changes his name to Paul, so he, big to small. And he has this encounter with Jesus, and he's going to persecute the church. Because he's religious, he is a Jew, he's a Pharisee, he hears of the church being born and he persecutes it because it's coming against his set of rules and regulations and understanding of how and who God is and what he should do. And he's on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, which is probably not just to slap people on the wrist. It'd be pretty serious. He regrets it and says in the end, his life is, I'm the chief of all sinners. But here he is walking along and he has this encounter with Jesus and he falls on the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? still Jesus though. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and we were told what to do. Paul was one of these people. You read in Philippians, the scripture there. Though I myself have reason for such confidence. So Paul's going to give his resume, his CV about how great a religious rule keeper he is. Someone thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh. More so. What do you mean? Like confidence in his ability to keep the rules and be right. Circumcised on the day of the people of Israel, or the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law. So like the first part of this book, a Pharisee. So he taught it. He understood it. He lived by it. As for zeal, persecuting the church, because the church is suddenly talking about this guy who is Jesus, the Messiah. It's like, no, this is wrong. I'm going to go and persecute them. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So here's what that means. You know the Ten Commandments? Love the Lord your God. No, that's not the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath, don't murder, don't commit adultery, all of those things. Well, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, Lord, whose sake I've lost all things. Consider them garbage. I may gain Christ and found in him, and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to resurrection from the dead. Paul had to stop at one point and go, I am not good enough. I am faultless. But he writes later about the whole idea, what I wanted to do, I couldn't do, and I actually know. Before God, he is still sin. And so what he's saying here, I worked so hard to try to be good, but Jesus made me righteous. It's come by putting my trust in him. And so we see Paul, who did incredible great things. He knew so much of the scriptures, and he was trusted in his own right doing. And I wonder if you and I might find ourselves in that situation today, where we go, I am good enough. I'm not as bad as that person. I don't do many bad things. But I'm telling you, if you have done one bad thing, the scripture said that all of us have sinned. The best way for us to do that is think of the best person you ever know, the most righteous person, and think, okay, where do you sit? Most of us are under here. We've probably lied. We've done something. We've done stuff that we're ashamed of, embarrassed, and we would want no one to know about. And yet, because Jesus has died for us, but he rose again, we have hope, we have freedom, we have forgiveness of sins. And so Paul's like, everything that I did, all the rules, all the good lives that I apparently had, it's rubbish. It's nothing. I'm all in. Maybe you might be the next person. And what I want to do, that'd be great. I've got some pieces of paper, there's writing on the back, but it's just recycled. I would love for us to respond at the end of today. Because I think there are things in our life, mindsets, like me going to one place, I'm like, no, I'm not getting there. Even though I'm like on the right track, I'm like, there are things here that we need. I want you to write down something in your life at the end. You don't have to do it now. Because I think there are things in our life that stop us from going all in. It might be the fact that you are disappointed. It might be the fact that you think, well, I'm got it all together. I haven't done really bad things. And yet, you're trying so hard to be good when you're not ever going to be good except through the righteousness of Jesus. But another type of person is Thomas. He's the wait and see. I'm not sure. Now, Thomas also known as one of the 12, was not the disciples when Jesus came. This after he's risen from the dead. So the other disciples just told him, "We've seen Jesus." So he says to them, "Yeah, nah. In his hand, the nails into it. I reckon Thomas gets a bad rap. But we live in an age where we're like, I'm not sure. Jury's out. Let's see how this goes. I'll just wait a little bit longer." You could call this unbelief, but there was I don't unbelieve. But what we do is we're in the, I'll just wait and see. I'm not sure. I'm not committing. No, I don't know. I'm not going to respond, but you are responding. You're like, no, I'm going to wait. Unless I see this and God jumps through my hoops. So a week later, his disciples were in the house again and John was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them like he just popped in. "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, because he's God and he heard what he said, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, put it inside, stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." So we do have fears, we do have doubts, we do have things that like, I believe, but I can't quite fully believe. I've got something here. Jesus' words to Thomas is like, stop going this way and start going this way. It's actually a decision that you need to make. I can slide into negativity and unbelief, but I need to start believing. And here's what's amazing. Because Jesus says, which I think is for you, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And so even though we can't see, we need to trust who Jesus is, what he says. And when there's a blessing that we actually identify with what he said and we trust in him. So today, there might be some of us here that we're like, I'm going to hedge my bets, I'm going to wait. The Passion Translation is beautiful. It says, then looking into Thomas's eyes, Jesus says, "Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe." Or maybe you're like, must. We were at the Last Supper, they're having a meal together, and Jesus said that, because Peter professes that, everyone else will leave you, but I'm all in. And Jesus said, "Hey, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me." And let's just read this story there. After a while, they were standing around. Those went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away because you're from Galilee. We're in Jerusalem." And then he began to call down curses. And he swore to them, "I don't know this man. I don't know Jesus." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Some of us have done stuff that we like. I love Jesus, I'm for Jesus, and then stuff that we do, we just do stuff and we go, no, I can't come to Jesus anymore. I've let him down. I've done stuff that, no. And what happens is he's going to hear a rooster crowing all the time. And the torment of the devil, I'm sure, would have been terrible for Peter. He's hearing this rooster crowing. He would have remembered, I did that. What happens is later on we read in John's gospel that he's like, let's just go fishing. I'm going back to what I know. I just give up. And they fish and they have this, they're probably not catching anything. And Jesus has prepared a fantastic breakfast for them. And Peter's like, I think that's Jesus. And then he puts on an outer garment because he's ashamed. He's embarrassed about who he is and what he's done. And then they have breakfast together. If we're honest, it's probably a weird, awkward breakfast. Because here's Jesus having this meal. All the other disciples there. Peter's there going, I denied you. I even swore just to fit in with everybody and called down curses. And I think we have the text of what happens in the next slide. So there's this, they go for a walk together. Because here's the thing. Jesus is not afraid of anything in your life. There is nothing that separates you from God. What we bring. And so sometimes we need to have an awkward conversation with God. To Peter and Jesus go away from everyone that God does privately. That stores him. Then he asks him, you don't have time to look into the whole text, but he asks him, do you love me? Because he denied him three times. And in the end, Jesus comes at his level like, can you just be my friend? This is what he means in this last one. And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Greek word there is, can you just be my friend? And he said, Lord, know all things. You know that I can love you, the friend. Jesus, be my friend. Very truly, I tell you, you dressed yourself where you wanted to go and you did all stretched out. He talks about what he would do in the end, how he would. Jesus said to indicate the kind Peter would glorify God. He said to him, follow me. Follow me. Which is what he said, this conversation with this discipleship journey. It's going to be a great journey. And I wonder if there are things in our life that we would go, oh, I'm so ashamed. Jesus sees this. Telling you what, this story is wonderful because Jesus comes alongside him, walks with him. Do you love? Let's just have a conversation around this and bring restoration. So by the end, Peter's all in. Peter's all in because he has this just, okay. And he's wiser. He doesn't commit to saying, yes, I will love you forever. He's like, I'm so wary of how frail and fragile and broken I am. I'll follow you. Maybe that's what we to do today. So what I want us to do, I wonder if the team could come.
Worship team.
There's a piece of paper here. There's nothing. There's something on the back, maybe. That's because we're recycling and we're very green and we're getting bonus points for that. But I want you to think about what's stopping you from going all in for Jesus. What is it? Is it something you're thinking about? Is it something in your past? Is it some disappointment? Is it some doubt or fear? I'm not sure what that is. And here's what I want you to do, because some of you are freaking out right now. Oh my goodness, this is weird. We're going to write something and stand up and say, this is me. No, no one's going to read it. What I want you to do is take a pen. In a moment, the team are going to play and we're going to sing this song and we're going to worship. But I want you to write down a thing, a phrase, whatever it is that for you is like, hey, this is embarrassing between me being like Mary Magdalene, who comes down, falls at the feet of Jesus and worships him. What is the thing that it is here? If there's nothing, fantastic. That's amazing. But I want you to reflect in the moments that we have and go, what's stopping me? Then, as you want to, I want you to take what you've written. I want you to. And we're going to keep worshiping. And I want you to put that in the basket. What we're saying is, I don't want this in my life. I'm bringing this to Jesus. And it could be the shame. It could be the embarrassment. It could be whatever it is. And we're just throwing them out. But we want you to bring it in an act of faith. Saying, Jesus, I give you my shame. Jesus, I give you my fear. Jesus, I give you my doubts because I'm all in. And so, this is really up to you. If you want to do it, that's great. If you don't want to do it, that's okay as well. But why don't we stand together? Because Jesus is alive. And in these stories, they're stories of real people who encountered the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus loves them enough to say, hey, I love you. I see your doubts. Hey, I love you. I see that shame. Hey, I love you. I see that pain. Would you give it to me? Because he is God, and the reason that Jesus died and rose again was to show us not just to take our sins, but to show victory over them. To disarm the powers of the devil and to show victory for all eternity. And so he's alive today. We have hope. We have freedom today. And I want to encourage you to participate in that thing. So let me pray. Father, you see us, you know us. Nothing's hidden. But yet, I marvel at the fact that you love us. And we come today wanting to love you, to serve you, and to be all in. And yet we know there are things in our lives, in our mind, in our life that would stop us from going all in. But today we want to stop and say, Lord, we don't want to do that anymore. We're going to change. And I thank you for the fact that we can change. And so we choose. And Lord, we write down these phrases, the words, the idea, the emotions, whatever it is that we're doing. And Lord, we bring them to you. Lord, thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the victory that there is. Because we say all hail King Jesus. Because he is God. He is Lord of Lord, King of all kings, and we worship him and we praise him today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.